Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to the Gridiron Show. Will Gavin, Ollie Hunter. We're going to review all the Week 14 action for you, including can the Dallas Cowboys or Chicago Bears make a splash in the playoffs, and just how rubbish is the team in the sixth seed in the NFC going to be. We'll talk about all the latest news from around the NFL and preview Thursday night football. This is the Gridiron Show. Hello and welcome to the Gridiron Show. Will Gavin, Ollie Hunter. Hello, Ollie. How are we doing?
I'm all right. I'm refreshed.
Refreshed in what way, sir?
I slept for 12 solid hours.
That's insanity. When did you... What? When?
From yesterday. I got home at 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so tired. For some reason, Adonis had bought everyone a Burger King on Deliveroo. And I think
my new friend Adonis.
Yeah, your new buddy. And I think I think Adonis is an actual name of a person that works here.
That is a human being, not someone that Ollie has just invented.
No, it's an actual
name. I can confirm that is a real person.
If you go to @WillGav, you may be able to... No, I don't think you will.
Not anymore, but you won't be able to.
Okay, one of those, fair enough. But he bought us all a...
He's the most recent person I followed, so you can find him there if you don't believe in him.
He bought us all a Burger King. And then I got home. And then at 8:30, I got home. I thought, oh, I'm so tired. I'm just going to go to bed. I set an alarm to get up for the NFL Monday night football game.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get up for it. Slept through the alarm. Woke up at 8:30 the following morning, Tuesday morning.
I did notice. I tweeted about how horrendous those Seahawks uniforms were. And I did even say, #KitWatch, that I was encroaching on your stoop, as it were. And, I didn't get any responses until I woke up after my all-day sleep today. So I did notice that you
were
disappeared
right
off the face of the planet.
You were right to do that because I was incommunicado because I was actually asleep.
Amazing. I'm really pleased for you, buddy.
But you were right. Those are the worst. Oh, man. I don't think the Jags have those mustard colour rush uniforms anymore, that Dijon mustard or baby poo. I think the Seahawks... Lime, it's not even lime grit, it's a dreadful, dreadful uniform. Dreadful.
Out of interest, do you... I'm thinking, I had quite a few responses to it with some other suggestions, but yeah, go on, I'll just take it. It is the worst. I think it's the worst. I got accused of saying it was the worst because I'm a Falcons fan. It's nothing to do with that. It's to do with being forced to watch, like, snap to snap, something which offends my eyes.
It hurts the eyes.
I honestly, I don't mind, like, someone saying, oh, what about the boring, like, all-white kits or half-white kits? I'm like, firstly, that's a league diktat that they have to have that as an away kit, so they don't have the option to not do that. And a lot of them, take the Saints, for example, with the gold numbers, black lettering, they take the white and they make it great. The Cowboys take the white, they make it look great. I like to think the 49ers with the red stripes and the red on it is a great white kit.
It's a throwback.
Oh, the throwback with the black lettering around the numbers from the 90s.
That's the throwback Colour Rush kit. It's glorious.
Outstanding kit. So I am all for kits being a little bit flamboyant. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But there's flamboyant and then there's just plain old hurts the eyes. And that hurts the eyes.
Imagine kicking off the show with some bona fide kit watch action when we've had an incredible incredible week 14 of NFL action. We've had coaching firings and we've had injuries and everything else, but I love the fact that we started it off with some kit watch.
Was the Miami Dolphins play at the end of the Patriots game your favorite regular season play of the season, maybe even of the modern era?
Of the season, definitely not of the modern era. The Aaron Rodgers launch
Hail Mary.
Hail Mary in the Detroit Lions game to win the game was the best. But that, yeah, 100%. The longest play from scrimmage to win a game with time expiring ever in since 1970, since records officially properly began. It was incredible, wasn't it?
I just want to say on it very quickly, because what we're going to do, we're going to focus on four big games from this weekend after we've run through the news, and we're going to talk about Ravens Chargers, we'll talk about the Eagles Cowboys game, and then the two Sunday night, Monday night football, where there was a point where I thought there was going to be less than 30 points between those two games in a season where it's all about the offense. But the Vikings Seahawks put up some garbage time points for us.
Wasn't it Ravens Chiefs?
What did I say?
Chargers.
Oh, sorry. Ravens Chiefs was what I meant. Yeah. Apologies.
No.
But I just want to talk about that play very quickly and just say that I think that the coaching decision to put Rob Gronkowski on the field is as bad a coaching decision as we saw this entire weekend. Mm-hmm. Because for everyone that's, for every terrible coaching decision we did see, and there were some dreadful ones this weekend, whether it's the bad uses of timeouts in the Rams-Bears game, whether it's, I'm not going to list them all off right now. There's this kind of fear to ever say anything negative about Bill Belichick and their coaching decisions. Rob Gronkowski makes some sense on the hands team if you're guaranteed a Hail Mary. Ryan Tannehill, with his surgically repaired shoulder, isn't going to throw the ball through the air 40 yards, let alone throw the ball from its own 31 for a Hail Mary. So the only way they were ever, ever, ever going to complete that, with 7 seconds left, they were either going to have to hit a very quick 20-yard out to the sideline and get it done in 6 seconds and then get 1 second to get off a play from near midfield, or they were going to have to do what they did and lateral it, in which case, why is Rob Gronkowski on the field? And what made it even worse was I saw somebody suggest when I put this on Twitter saying, but what if the Dolphins had scrambled up to the line and decided to take the Hail Mary really quickly as a way to kind of throw the Patriots defense and not let them get the Hail Mary players out there in time. You had two timeouts. Bill, just call a timeout. That's all it would have taken, and you would have had time to substitute. It was all very funny to watch him lumbering over at Kenyon Drake and falling over and ha ha ha. Isn't it funny that like he made such a mess of that? But it's a legitimately dreadful coaching decision, which if they just put a safety back there, it wouldn't have been a touchdown and the Patriots would have won that game of football and pretty much secured the bye at this point.
I forget which one of the McCourty twins it was, but the one that stood out of that particular play that mm-hmm. Rob Gronkowski replaced him for, that was the only play that he didn't participate in on defense the entire game.
Oh, and by the way, while I'm being angry about things,
who would have thought Willie gets angry about things of the today?
If the Los Angeles Chargers finish with just 3 losses this season, if they beat the Chiefs on Thursday Night Football, I know it's tough, missing those running backs, it's not going to be easy. If that happens, if they beat the Chiefs and we end up with 3 loss teams out of the AFC West, mm-hmm. But we end up with a 4-loss team in the second seed. I've always got angry about the home field advantage thing in the wild card round of the playoffs. I always think you should have, the divisional winners should get in. Obviously they should, else the divisions make no sense. But the seeding should dictate who's at home. I'm throwing that out the window. You get your 4 division winners get in. Then your 2 best teams with the best records get in. But you know what? Seeding should be based entirely on record from here forwards because it's getting increasingly fast. When a 7-9 team can get in and then get a home game versus a team that have won 10 games, 11 games that season, not having it. I think it's ludicrous. And the idea, like, people are like, oh, you don't like change. Get over yourselves.
Get out.
Get over yourselves.
How can a team from the division of disgrace, and it's been, I think, since we coined that term, about 4 or 5 years ago, I think 3 of the 4 or 5 years have been teams that haven't had a winning record or have had a winning record by 1. How can they have a better chance of making it to the Super Bowl than a team that has played better than the other for the entirety of the season?
Yeah, exactly. Forcing a team that have won more games to have to go entirely on the road because of what? An arbitrary decision 40 years ago. Where, yeah. Well, I mean, the playoff seeding's been changed since then, to be fair. But you know what I'm saying. So anyway, I've got that little bugbear off my shoulders. Should we talk about the news?
The news.
Starting off with the Vikings have fired offensive coordinator John DeFilippo. The absolutely offensive mess that the Vikings have been over the last 4 weeks. And I'm really glad. Greggy tweeted today saying, Kirk Cousins was very, very good for the first half of the season. Anyone who doesn't see that didn't watch football. And I said through 8 weeks, he was still in the MVP race. Way off the likes of the Drew Breeses and the Pat Mahomes, but if he had a brilliant second half of the season, he could thrust himself into it. 3 of the last 4 weeks, he's been dreadful, but the play calling has been awful as well. Mm. And John DeFilippo has gone from a man who was a hot head coaching candidate, thought of as the next Kyle Shanahan, only, 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, to having no job right now.
The amazing thing is that when Mike McCarthy was fired last week, he was in the conversation of taking over from Mike McCarthy at the end of the season. And his stock has fallen so badly after the defeat to the Seahawks 21-7 last night. You're right, the play calling hasn't been good enough. And Greg is also right that Kirk Cousins has looked really good in that first half of the season, or the first 8 weeks, making some incredible throws, most notably against Green Bay in that tie against the Packers at Lambeau Field. But it's gone static. But I think, actually, that isn't totally on John DeFilippo. I think the entire team has gone static. The defense hasn't been playing well. Mike Zimmer has been increasingly testy throughout the season.
The problem is, I
don't think it's all on him.
The problem is the defense played really well for most of the game last night.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's not forget 18 of the Seahawks' 21 points came in the fourth quarter, and 7 of those came on the
pick six.
Fumble return. Was it a pick six?
There was a pick six.
Was it a pick six? Yeah. I couldn't remember if it was a strip and a fumble return or a pick six. This game was 3-0 going into the fourth quarter, which is why I was saying I thought both these games were going to end up with less than 30 points between them in prime time. And
by the way, I watched the 40-minute version on Game Pass this morning. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoy that kind of attritional who blinks first kind of game.
I thought overall it was a really enjoyable game of football. But the Vikings had their opportunities. The Vikings got down into the red zone. The Vikings chose not to take field goals and go for fourth downs. Not just on the very obvious one where they got into the goal line situation. They went for fourth and goal from the 2 and got stuffed, which wasn't a surprise considering how the running game had been going up until that point. But actually, even when they got to the first time they got into Seahawks territory wasn't until the third quarter. And they got down to about the 39-38. And I know that's very long field goal territory, but even if you then punt it down into the corner, your defense has played really well so far. Force the Seahawks back, play that game of chess, force them to a 3-and-out, and then get the ball back with a first down around midfield again and go again. That's what they should have been looking to do. Said they went for it on a fourth down there as well. It was a really frustrating watch. The play calling itself was just really felt all over the place. I didn't like the run-pass balance overall, even though by the end of the game it looked okay. 33-21 passes to rushing attempts.
But a lot of that was on the final drive, wasn't it? Where they managed to get a load of... Well, the final two drives where they managed to get a load of yards. And I think a lot of the criticism to do with DeFilippo and the play calling and the play design as well is that at the beginning of the season, Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen were getting open all the time. Over the last 3 or 4 weeks, hardly at all. Thielen had that incredible run, and as soon as that run ended of 100 yards per game, it's been very difficult to get him in the game.
He's been double-teamed left, right and centre.
Exactly, and the same with Stephon Diggs. And then when it comes to the running game, and we saw it so much in the game against the Seahawks, that it was basic stuff, one cut up the middle, and getting stuffed at the line. Dalvin Cook, and then that dreadful backwards pass to Latavius Murray. a lot of the play design was not good enough.
You have to give a plenty of love to what the Seahawks have managed to do on defense.
And
the fact that it has been all about bringing that competition back in, the idea that actually the likes of the Shermans and the Michael Bennetts and all of those other players that now are no longer on the team, maybe got their feet under the table a little bit and weren't playing as hard because the lack of competition was not there at that point, and they weren't being really challenged for their places. And you have to give that a lot of love. It was actually, for the first three quarters, very ugly also on offense from the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson didn't have a good game and then had a couple of good throws in the fourth quarter, and suddenly Simon Clancy and Matt Sherry are talking about him as a top three quarterback again, obviously. But they, if their defense is playing as well as they do, you only really need him to have, you know, he had that 40-yard scramble. He had, he just needs to make two or three plays a game. And it reminds me of that season where, okay, they eventually got blown out in the Super Bowl that year, but that year where they constantly were doing just enough to win games because the defense was so good, and then all you needed was, and actually it got to a point where the defense apparently didn't like Wilson at that point. You heard all sorts of rumors of Sherman and Chancellor and all those guys actually not being a fan of him because they felt he wasn't doing enough in that first couple of seasons, and then kind of got won round by him later. I think that's the kind of team they are right now. I still think going on the road in the playoffs to one of these incredible offenses, they will struggle, but fair play, they are a much, much better team than we were expecting.
I love their running game. I love the triple threat of Chris Carson, Mike Davis, and the rookie Rashad Penny. I think that Penny had that traversing the field after cutting back and escaping pressure, pressure on the running back, that is. Their running game is diverse, and I like what's going on, and they're finally getting Russell Wilson running the ball a bit as well. But you're right, not much going on passing-wise, and when they're starting to bring Tyler Lockett on jet sweeps that aren't working, you know that the passing game isn't quite there yet. But yeah, I mean, Russell can pull a
rabbit rainbow out of the hat,
a rainbow out of the sky.
Very good. Let's just a couple of other bits of news worth mentioning. Reggie McKenzie's run as general manager of the Oakland Raiders has come to an end. Reggie McKenzie took this team from being an absolute nobody team, had to go through those couple of years around 2010, 11, 12, where the only players he could sign, or 2012, 13, were kind of really aging free agents who he had to throw money at, who were past their best and getting these massive monster contracts from the Raiders. Had that one, obviously, phenomenal draft class. Was it 2014 with Derek Carr and Khalil Mack? And really turned this team around and made them a team that can go to the playoffs and look like a legitimate playoff contender 2 years ago. But it's been so obvious that he is slowly getting the elbow out. We're hearing reports that there are literally now two sets of scouts working within the Raiders organization. The likes of Justin Tuck absolutely throwing money at them. And you look at the inside the organization, there's apparently two scouting networks right now. There's the Gruden guys and the McKenzie guys. They were essentially had two front offices right now. I don't even know if they'll even bother bringing a new GM in, because John Gruden just wants to be the man making those decisions. And we were there and we saw Reggie McKenzie and John Gruden barely interact with each other on the field. Him going and watching the game with just one other guy up in his box. And this has been coming for a while. They just seem to wait for a moment where they felt they could just shuffle him off quietly and move on.
The problem, weird. I think what's killed McKenzie is the fact that not only is Khalil Mack doing really well at his new landing spot, but Amari Cooper has been, maybe this is the right time to talk about it, but Amari Cooper has been absolutely brilliant since he's joined the Cowboys. He's been the player that would post 200 yards once or twice a season per game for the Raiders. And he's now producing not 200 yards per game, but
he went to 217 and three touchdowns this weekend.
Well, there you go. But he's producing week in, week out consistently, which he wasn't doing for the Raiders.
We've talked a lot about what he's done for that offense in Dallas. I still have some concerns with Dallas when it gets into the playoffs. Obviously, what they've done over the last 4 or 5 weeks has been brilliant. Since there's no team who have, since their bye this season, have turned their season around like the Dallas Cowboys have, and a lot of love for them for doing that. My concern with them is not dissimilar to what I was saying last week about the Chargers. They let the Eagles stay in this game and let them force it to overtime, when realistically, through three quarters, they were 9-0 up. Mm. But based on balance of play, time of possession, yardage, everything else that they had, they should have been absolutely miles ahead. And we'll talk about the Bears-Rams game in a bit and why I think that there's a little bit of a misnomer for the Bears there. In fact, we can talk about it now. Let's just...
Very quickly, the Cowboys always have that game against the Titans in them.
Yeah,
where
exactly.
Where they don't get something going. Dak Prescott looks like the guy that you and I potentially believe that he is, rather than the guy that Simon Clancy and Matt Sherry think he is.
I know, I think Clancy's closer to us on this. I think it's just Sherry who's very much still the Dak guy. And Dak had a great game this weekend, and that's fine, but he still threw some bad throws, two interceptions, both of them absolutely entirely on him, which was poor. On balance, I think the Cowboys obviously are the most improved team of the second half of the season. But can they go and win one playoff game, maybe? Can they go on a two-game road winning streak against the Rams and the Saints or whatever that would end up being? I can't see it. I just don't see them, even with as well as their defense has been playing, they just don't seem to kill games off. And similarly, we look to what happened with Rams-Bears this weekend. Now, the Rams have got problems because... that's two games in a row. And yes, they beat the Lions, but the Lions had them figured out. And then the Bears followed that same idea that the Lions had, which is playing the two split safeties, covering the field in that kind of zonal fashion at the back end. So as the plays developed, being able to pick out where to stop and slow the play down, stopping the screen game and getting after the quarterback. Obviously, holding the Los Angeles Rams to 6 points was an incredible effort and a poor effort from Jared Goff. But man, is Mitchell Trubisky rubbish. 16 of 30. He had 30 passing attempts and passed for 110 yards. One touchdown, which was a trick play with four defensive linemen and an offensive tackle catching the ball, and three bad interceptions. Do you really, really believe that if a Bears team can outgain a Rams team like that team did the weekend, this isn't necessarily aimed at you, Ollie, this is just aimed at the Royal, everyone. If you can outgain a team and beat a team and hammer them about like the Bears did to the Rams this weekend and pick Jared Goff off three times and not put 30 or 40 points on them, that you would be able to go to New Orleans or Los Angeles. If this game was in the reverse in the playoffs, everyone would be like, oh, remember what the Bears did to the Rams in week 14. The Rams might hammer them. I think they might actually go to Los Angeles and get a battering. I don't believe that because the defense is too good, but I do believe that this is a Bears team that until they improve on offense, they're not going to be championship worthy. But that defense is right up there with the best.
I mean, the defense is ridiculous.
Oh, ridiculous.
And we've banged on about it. I've banged on about it. Just, I wonder if they almost showed too much in beating the Rams. They showed that if you leave Khalil Mack uncovered on third downs, he will disrupt and Jared Goff or any quarterback will make mistakes. I think the way that you beat the Bears is get the ball out, bang on, real quick. What the Rams didn't do was those quick crossing routes. They don't have that slot guy on form. Josh Reynolds, they wanted to use in that way, but he dropped two or three really easy passes or really easy catches, and the Rams couldn't get the chains moving. They couldn't get Goff going, and they then went in on themselves and started to fear that Bears defense. Jared Goff, you could see it. He feared getting hit by those Bears, and he would make Kirk Cousins-esque bad decisions in getting the ball out or throwing it away. And it was no surprise that they couldn't get anything going.
4 days like no other. A festival like no other. For a bookmaker like no other. Betfred. Get up to £40 in free bets when you sign up using promo code CHELP40 and stake £10 on any Cheltenham race. Betfred. At the heart of Cheltenham. 18 plus, new UK customers only. Available from March 6th to March 13th. £30 free bets credited within 10 hours of first bet settlement. Extra £10 free bets credited if first bet loses. Full terms at betfred.com/promotions. Keep it fun. BeGambleAware.org.
That's Sunday Night Football. That was Monday Night Football. We've managed to cover those off pretty well. The other big bit of news was that the salary cap for 2019 has been projected to be 187 to 191.1 million, a pretty big increase over the 177 million of this season. You know, teams have another 10 million to work with. And you think about those teams with loads of cap space. And you think about those teams like the Cowboys, like the Rams, who have a rookie quarterback on a rookie contract, who can now go and add to those squads. That window is... I think you've got to look at those teams who have got really good rookie quarterbacks. Is Deshaun Watson due a contract yet? He's probably got another year. The Texans in there as well, and think...
Chiefs.
Extra cap space. Chiefs are a great one. Like, I think we're going to see over the next... We should see over the next 2 years, if those teams aren't dominating because they've got so much cap room now and a rookie on so little money... I'd be absolutely stunned if you start seeing the teams with the 30 million quarterbacks doing really, really well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although that being said, you get a team like the 49ers who have both a $27 million quarterback and a stupid amount of cap space. Then there might be some teams out there who can achieve it based on money alone. But, God, you wouldn't necessarily fancy it, would
you? If you're a free agent going into this season or the end of this season, going into next season, you're thinking, hello, I am going to get paid. Because... if you're a decent free agent, you're in, or a decent player, you're in high demand because there are teams that need to restock and get better, and you could get end up getting paid somewhere and getting paid really, really well.
It was a thing sent to our group, the Gridiron Brain Trust, by Ben Burke, who does the betting previews for Gridiron, who sent this: highest average annual contract value of quarterbacks this season. 33.5 million Aaron Rodgers in playoff position? No. 30 million Matt Ryan in the playoffs this season? No. Kirk Cousins, 28 million? Yes, sixth seed in the NFC right now, but not playing very well. Jimmy Garoppolo.
Down the trend, isn't he?
Absolutely. Jimmy Garoppolo, 27.5 million in the playoff position? No. Matt Stafford, 27 million? No. Derek Carr, 25 million? No. The top six quarterbacks in terms of money could all miss the playoffs this season if things shake out a certain way. Actually, the Packers could still make it. The Packers win out. They need the Vikings to lose twice, which is unlikely.
Whoa, 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 whoa. With the Lions' resurgence? Yeah?
Is that the claim you're making?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you getting legitimately allowing yourself to get excited by the idea the Packers could go to the playoffs?
The Packers can't make the
playoffs. They can make the playoffs.
They're not going to make the playoffs.
It's just it's unlikely they
will. It's the same as like the Browns making the playoffs. There's a scenario where the Browns can make the playoffs even though they're two games back.
Yeah, I mean, they're in the picture. They're in the hunt. They're a great spoiler team, though, the Browns, aren't they? Great win for them this weekend. We won't necessarily pore over every game, but it was a really good win for them this weekend.
For the down, talk about a team in a downward trend. The Panthers are dreadful at the moment.
Oh, so bad. Like this idea, the Panthers, Eagles, Washington, Green Bay could all make it into the playoffs if the Vikings lose two games is ridiculous and hilarious. And the NFC has turned into the AFC of about the last 5 or 6 years. It's very upsetting.
It's finally happened.
It's the AFC is the better conference for the first time in living memory. That's probably an exaggeration, but the Patriots' dominance certainly makes it in recent memory. In the time we've been doing this podcast, this might be the first season where the AFC has been the better top-to-bottom conference since 2012.
So the Browns can get to the playoffs by winning their last three against Denver, Cincinnati, and Baltimore. Pittsburgh would have to lose their last three against... New England, New Orleans, and Cincinnati, doable. Baltimore would have to lose to Tampa Bay or the LA Chargers, one out of either of those two. That's it. So all of that can all happen.
Oh.
I mean, the most unlikely of all of those would be Cleveland winning three games in a row, and that would be four in a row. But it could happen.
The Ravens, I think, even though they lost this weekend to the Chiefs, showed a huge amount on both sides of the ball. Really good defensively. Lamar Jackson, okay, it's only 147 yards in the air, but adds to that with 71 on the ground. He opens up for Gus Edwards, who had another good game, if not as splashy in terms of the amount. Kenneth Dixon as well. The rushing game is there. Ty Montgomery got two carries.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
For 1 yard.
He who must not be named.
Yeah, by you. I will name him as much as I want.
Whoa, whoa.
So the Ravens, I'd be surprised if the Ravens aren't that sixth team in.
Should we quickly talk about Mahomes?
Got the Colts, got the Dolphins, got the Titans.
Mahomes in that game, that performance, some of the throws that he's making.
The no-look pass is one of my favourite passes I've ever seen in the NFL.
Well, there's the no-look pass. There's the pass where he's running out towards the right-hand side and then throws across his body to Tyreek Hill, who is playing through an injury, who jumps, goes up and catches it and then runs out of bounds. Incredible stuff. That was on fourth down. The game winner to Damian Williams was on fourth down as well. Patrick Mahomes is reminding me of some of the things that Aaron Rodgers in his pomp did. It's some of the stuff he's doing is incredible.
The most telling thing about everything you said there was Aaron Rodgers in his pomp, as if that's gone. As if it's never coming back, Ollie.
Well, it could come back, but he's not in his pomp right now.
Heartbreaking. I think all we need to really do now is take a little look forward to Thursday night football, and then we'll get the latest odds from Skybet. How do you feel about that,
Ollie?
Let's
do that.
So, Thursday night football, and it is an absolute banger involving those Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs against the Los Angeles Chargers. The problem from a Chargers perspective is not only that the Chiefs are a really good football team right now. Defensively, they had a good game against the Ravens. Shh. Say it quietly, because
Justin Houston's back.
I'm not ready to quite believe in them yet, and I still think we need to see something. We need to see if Eric Berry comes back and plays like an All-Pro, then that's going to make a difference. But I don't think it's a huge difference. But the Chargers have the horrible record against the Chiefs. I think they're going there, aren't they?
Yeah,
they're going to Arrowhead, and it's likely they're not going to have Melvin Gordon or Austin Ekeler.
No, Melvin. I thought he was. I think he's a game time decision, isn't he?
He is back. He was back in the running yesterday. Today, in Anthony Lynn's press conference. Oh no, sorry. In his interview with NFL Network, Steve Wyche, he said the Chargers are not optimistic that Melvin Gordon will be available Thursday. The short week doesn't seem like enough time for them to be ready. I definitely feel it'll be a game time decision. Still trying to decide what to do. I know coach is trying to be careful. This is from Melvin Gordon, doesn't want me to further hurt myself. It's whether or not you have to look at it and say, you take him and you make him active, but if the game gets away from you, you bench him quick. Or you try and use him in situations. You don't try and force him in there.
Do you make him active and play him if you need him? Because you've got Justin Jackson.
I was going to say, you like old Justin Jackson, don't you,
buddy? He didn't do anything last week or on Sunday, but he looked really good a week or so ago. If you need Gordon. And the thing is, you've got to, from a Chargers point of view, you've got to weigh it up. They're pretty much guaranteed a playoff berth. And it means they have to go into the wild card because they're going to be behind the Chiefs anyway. Do you risk Melvin Gordon for nothing, really? For what you've already got? Or do you risk him to try and leapfrog the Chiefs if it is close? It's such a tough call, isn't it?
Massively.
It's such a tough call. Do you ride Justin Jackson, see how well he does? If he's not getting anything going, you switch it up. Then you bring in Melvin Gordon. Man, what a decision that is.
I'd take him. Well, see how it goes over the next 2 days. But I'd take him. I would have him active. Make them prepare for him. But if he's not feeling up to it, you've got Justin Jackson. You've got Detrez Newsom. No idea. He holds the record for total touchdowns in Western Carolina, though. So did something in college.
That great D3 college of Western Carolina.
Hey now. It could make all the difference. People mock think about the number of really good undrafted running backs we've had in recent years, or round 4, 5, 6 running backs. He could emerge as an absolute monster. It could happen. I don't think it's going to happen. For me, these are the best two teams in the AFC right now. The two teams I'm most excited about watching, if nothing else. I know the Texans have gone on a 9-game winning streak, but the Steelers continue to collapse like a flan in a cupboard. The Patriots have a weird game in them, like Miami this weekend, and still the pass rush is lacking, and still, they're as much a winning without playing well team as anyone else. I can't wait for Thursday night. I just wish that there was a running back in the backfield for the Chargers. I'm going to take a Chiefs win, though.
Is there a chance that Derwin James can line up at running back?
I'd watch it if it happened.
Wouldn't that be amazing? He does everything else on defense. We haven't seen a dual offense defense kind of player for years. Get Derwin. I'm going to start it now. Get Derwin James on the offense. Why not?
Oh, God. That was the biggest stretch of my human life. Right, I've got to go and do a prereq for real work, buddy. And we've got to get Skybet on the line and take a look at the Thursday night odds. Are you taking the Chiefs or the Chargers?
I'd take the Chiefs.
There we go. So thank you very much for listening. As always, the Gridiron Show. And oh, by the way, right now, the playoffs are coming. And so you know the one place to go and book your playoff trips if you want to go and see your team in action in January. It is, of course, Touchdown Trips. You can head to touchdowntrips.com or give them a call on 01904-403355. That's 01904-403355. They are already doing quotes for Rams, Saints and Chiefs divisional games.
Imagine going to Arrowhead for a divisional game. Oh my God. And we went to LA for the Rams game against the Chiefs. LA is a great town to watch football. The Coliseum, you're not going to be able to see it for too much longer. Go to the Coliseum for a playoff game, because that against the Chiefs felt like a playoff game, and it was incredible. Touchdown Trips, Ben Mortimer will sort you out.
They also have a bunch of New Year's getaways. You can go to New Orleans and watch the Saints and see in New Year's in New Orleans. What a trip that would be. So those are all available, plus Super Bowl packages still up on the website now. Touchdown Trips, getting you...
Yes, you.
In the game. Right, let's head to Skybet and get the latest odds ahead of Thursday night football. All right, let's check out the latest odds now with our friends at Skybet, which means Jacob joins us. And Jacob joins us not from the UK right now. How are you doing, buddy?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Very good. Yeah, we've been to a San Francisco game, watched them triumph over the Broncos. So that's feeling pretty good right now.
You're a lucky charm. As a 49ers fan, we're going to pay for you to go and get a season ticket next year, because then maybe we'll go to the Super Bowl. I'm glad that you're having a good time, though, mate, but still glad you could take the time out to join us. Look, a market we've not talked about much in recent weeks due to having so many other interesting things to talk about. It's just straight up the Super Bowl market and a couple of interesting results for teams like the Rams in recent weekends. So what's the market looking like at the moment?
So we've still got the Rams and the Saints as joint favourites. They're both sat at 10-3, and they keep kind of switching places. The Saints, obviously, with that disappointing result in Dallas. But then the Rams going up to Chicago and the Bears putting on a great performance has pushed them back out a little bit. So they're both sat at joint favourites, but at a little bigger prices than they were before. And like you're saying, with both of them now finally looking like they're not invincible, it could be a good chance to maybe get on some of the other teams if you're feeling them. So the next we've got is Chiefs. They're sat at 9-2. They got pushed out a little bit after the whole Kareem Hunt incident, but since then, you know, they've got some good wins and they've settled back into a little bit of a run game with Spencer Ware this week. So the Patriots losing on that incredible play in Miami has definitely helped the Chiefs' case, because now it's looking like they're almost nailed on for that number one seed in the AFC.
Right, okay, so it's probably still fair that those are the markets, and it's a couple of outsiders that I potentially like looking at the market, but I'm not going to tip my hand. I think people should go and check it out at skybet.com. As always, we look forward to Thursday night football, though, and we talk about that top seed in the AFC. The Chiefs are in there right now. Because of tiebreakers, it would take more than just the Chargers winning on Thursday night to get them into that top seed. But for me, Thursday night football, these are the two best teams in the AFC right now going head to head.
Yeah, I almost feel a little bit bad for the Chargers in that they're sat in that division. You know, you look at their record and they should be getting a first round bye. But because they're in that division, the choices for them are either the number one seed or the number five seed right now. So it looks like they might have a tough time unseating the Chiefs at the top of that division, but it looks like they could be sat with a five seed with the second best record.
Yeah, and trust me, you'll listen back to the full podcast later, as I'm sure you always do, and you'll hear my rant about how, yes, the four divisional winners obviously should get a playoff place, but all seeding for me should be based on record. It's just ridiculous that it's not. I still, however, even though they're very tight in it, I think missing Austin Eckler and likely Melvin Gordon a game time decision for this one, even with the emergence of Jackson. I fancy the Chiefs to win. I'm going to take the over. Just that's what games involving these teams have looked like this season. So over 50 points, Chiefs to win, both quarterbacks to throw for over 300 yards with those running back issues. What can I get on that?
So that's going to go up at 8-1. I think, yeah, Mahomes has gone over 310 out of his 13 games. And then on the other side for Rivers, the Chiefs D have given up the most pass yards in the league per game. So if they've got no Melvin Gordon, if we're not sure on Austin Eckler's status, then if you're the Chargers, you've got to be looking to try and take advantage through the air. And I think this is a team they kind of at least match up fairly well against. And then with the 50-plus points, I mean, Chiefs games have gone over that 11 of 13 times. So these games often end up as shootouts, which kind of makes sense when you've got such a inspiring offense, but also a struggling defense. And it becomes a case of we can just score more than you. So if you look at that, I think then it will really just come down to a case of maybe who can score last. And we've seen the Chiefs a lot of the time just have that one play ability throughout the air to Tyreek Hill, and it could come down to something like that.
And let's be honest, who doesn't like backing a high-scoring, pass-heavy, exciting game of Thursday night football? Is the request a bet offer still going?
Yep, that's it every Thursday. So we've got, if you spend £10 on any request a bet markets on the Chiefs-Chargers game, then you'll receive a £5 free bet to spend on any NFL market you like.
Cracking stuff, Jacob, as always. Terms and conditions at skybet.com. It is over 18s only. Please gamble responsibly, and thank you for listening to The Gridiron Show.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreestyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreestyleLibre.us.